Keep the cheer going with the big sale at Half Price Books. With up to 20% off everything in-store and online, it's the perfect time to stock up on all the cool and quirky things you love. Collectibles, comics, games, grab it all for up to 20% off when you shop in-store or online at HPB December 26th through December 28th. You've given gifts. Now it's time to save big. Shop the big sale at Half Price Books. Exclusions apply. Visit hpb.com for details.
This is the sound of your ride home with Dad after he caught you vaping. Awkward, isn't it? Most vapes contain seriously addictive levels of nicotine and disappointment. Know the real cost of vapes. Brought to you by the FDA.
Future-proof extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, there are about 7,000 distinct languages spoken on this planet, would you believe? And of them, almost half of them are classified as endangered. When these languages will cease to be spoken is hard to know, but there is one which we can say for certain is in its last generation. It's called Umeri, and it's only spoken by twin brothers Matthew and Michael Yulden. And they are not the only twins with their own way of speaking to each other. Nancy Segal is professor of psychology and director of the Twins Studies Center at California State. She's author of 9 books about twins, so I'm pretty sure we could call her an expert. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
So let's start off, I suppose, just with you, if you don't mind. What's the obsession with twins?
My passion with twins? Well, twins are a very simple and elegant way of looking at the roots of all kinds of behaviors, from intelligence, personality, interests, ideas. It's a very simple and elegant and informative method. I'm also a twin myself. I have a fraternal twin sister. And so this really triggered my interest in twins. And I've had a wonderful career, both professionally and personally, ever since.
I had a feeling there was going to be a twin somewhere in that answer. So talk to me about this very unusual phenomenon that I haven't heard of before, but lots of our listeners may have. Cryptophasia. What is it?
Cryptophasia is a term that describes or refers to the special communication patterns between many pairs of twins. Not all twins develop this, but these infants grow up in close proximity to one another. And they're often left on their own by parents because they have each other for entertainment. And in the course of that, they develop special words, phrases, gestures that communicate a whole idea. It's not terribly unlike what goes on between best friends or husbands and wives or other partners. You know, a look, a glance, a word will convey a whole meaning. It's just that twins develop it at a very, very early age, and this can possibly delay their language development. So we have to watch out for that.
So when you say very early age, how early are we talking?
Well, we're talking about when twins are together in the playpen, when they first begin to speak, words start to begin to form, you know, slightly before one year. But the language explosion is really about 18 months to 2 years. And so there are many examples of twins that just communicate in these odd ways. And it's unintelligible to most people, but the twins understand exactly what's going on.
This is something that is typical for quite a lot of twins, but not all twins. Is that right?
It's typical for a lot of twins. It can also happen between unrelated babies raised together. I actually have a sample of such children called virtual twins, children who are both adopted, or one's adopted and one's biological, and they're raised together in a very twin-like situation. And these kinds of children can also develop this kind of speech pattern.
Are the words that they speak in any way related to the words that we speak, or are they completely invented? Like, for example, with these twins, Matthew and Michael Yulden, would I recognize any of the words in their language, Umeri?
So first of all, let's point out that they probably have not created a language as such. They probably constructed a very complex way of communicating, because these are not special languages. These languages have words that might be recognizable, words that might not be. They usually conform to the grammatical construction of the language that the twins are immersed in. So it's not a language in the making. I think a lot of linguists thought that in the very beginning, but
right,
they changed their minds.
How is that? I suppose, academically distinct from just, you know, the phrases that kids grow up saying to each other?
Well, they're unintelligible to other people. That is the issue. Although I've learned over the years that if there are older siblings in the family who do not use that speech themselves, they can often serve as translators to parents, which is a very handy kind of thing. But some of them might be recognizable, others might not be, but you have to really pay close attention.
And so is this something that over time sort of fades away? Is it something like a very early way of connecting with the sibling? And does that typically fade out as the twins get older? Or do they often remember these languages many, many years later?
No, well, let's not call them languages, but at any rate.
Okay.
Yeah, at any rate, sometimes they can persist, as I said, and can delay normal language development. Most of the time, they will drop out. As children have more experiences at school with their peers and with relatives, other adults. But it can delay the onset of normal speech. And that's where you have to be careful. Now, some adult twins that I know, even my sister and I, we have certain words that we still like, and they sound kind of silly to other people, but they're not made up words, really. They're really odd phrases that we've given to certain events or certain objects. We use them a couple of times, and they're kind of fun, but it's not like it delayed our language development in any way.
Right. Does that actually happen where people, you know, use their own sounds for each other at a very early age? Does that tend to have a negative effect on their ability to develop language?
Well, it can. It just depends on the extent to which they use these things. That's why I always advise parents of twins to make sure that while twins can enjoy their relationship with one another, they should always also have experience with other people, particularly adults. I sort of suggest a one-on-one with each parent. Because what's interesting is that twins as a group get more language experience than a single child, but each individual twin gets less experience. And the whole situation with two children, of course, is more chaotic. And so parents are more controlling and in their speech. So twins have less verbal freedom.
So this, we're going to call it a secret language, even though I know it's technically not a language, between the two brothers, Umeri. They even tried to develop an alphabet for it. Is that level of development for a twin-speak language or twin-speak communication, is that very common or is that unusual?
No, that would be unusual. Most of the time, I've never heard of an alphabet, actually. But I can see where it might happen in some unusual cases like this. They sound like a very fascinating pair. And I think that if they were studied by a linguist, they could probably provide some really interesting information in the development of this kind of communication pattern. But the extent that you're describing is really little unusual.
So let's talk about twins in general then, because some of the research would seem to suggest that twins are different from siblings. And I'm wondering, what is your take on that? Because obviously there are the anecdotal stories where twins separate and come back together. And I'm sure you have lots of those who'd love to hear them. And then are either exact opposites or very, very similar. But how much of that is just chance? And how much of it do you believe is really wrapped up in being a twin?
Well, let's put it this way. Twins share characteristics with many ordinary children, but they have some unique examples of behaviors as well. You're growing up with a constant close companion. You share your birthdays. You share all developmental milestones. So it is a different thing. Many times people will compare you. Many times they will treat you as a unit. Mm. But aside from that, you know, these are twins, children who have the same needs, desires, and wants. They have a really strict, keen sense of fairness, however. You know, if they're very sensitive to differences in the bigger half of the cookie, for example. And right. So parents have to be really careful to be fair. Now, fair does not mean treating each child exactly the same. Fair means being responsive to each child's interests, desires, and abilities. But I will say that identical twins are much more highly matched than fraternals. And that makes sense because identical twins share all their genes in common. From a single fertilized egg, whereas fraternal twins result from the separate conceptions of two eggs released at the same time. So they're, genetically speaking, just like ordinary.
They're not really twins. I mean, they're just coincidence. I don't think they're twins. I mean, obviously they are technically twins. But
don't you tell me I'm not a twin. I've been a twin for a number of years.
That's so tell me about Jack and Oscar, because these stories are really remarkable. The many stories that you've covered as twins. Tell me this one.
Well, Jack and Oscar were identical twins born in the early 30s in Trinidad to a Jewish Romanian father and a Catholic German mother. And when they were about 6 months old and the relationship soured, then Jack remained with his father in Trinidad, was raised Jewish, and Oscar was taken by his German mother back to Germany. And he was in the Hitler Youth. They were very, very different backgrounds. They knew of one another, of course. And when they finally met at the age of 20, it was a very cool relationship. They had very different historical and political understandings, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But then they also participated in the Minnesota study of twins raised apart in 1980. And at that point, they were in their 40s. They were willing to chat with one another. And they formed an amazingly close but tense relationship. There were certain topics where they just couldn't go. But they were fascinated with their similarities. They had many. They used to wrap rubber bands around their wrists, and they used to like to sneeze loudly in elevators. And they used to wash their hands before and after using the toilet, and they read books back to front. And so what this tells us is that even our odd habits can be genetically influenced at some level. But the most important and revealing aspect of these twins is that they both knew that had they been raised in the other one's home, they would have adopted a completely different view of nationhood and World War II.
Yeah.
And that's a very strange thing to say, because they currently could not accept what the other twin believed in. And yet,
you can imagine,
they would have taken that perspective had their situations been reversed.
When it comes to these particular quirks, though, like reading books back to front or washing hands before and after going to the bathroom, which I suppose is not that unusual, but it's not something that everybody does. I'm wondering, were they just things that they picked up when they were growing up and before they were split? Or have you come across stories of twins who were separated really at birth that ended up having identical approaches to certain things that really are well beyond the realms of just coincidence?
Yes. I've written a paper about several years ago where I document a lot of these things. And of course, the more unusual the habit, the greater is the argument for some sort of genetic underpinning. Now, having said that, there's no gene for hand washing and no gene for reading books back to front. But if you consider what goes into reading a book back to front, an impatience, you want to get to the end of the story. So that could be driving that. Why do they like to sneeze loudly in elevators? Well, maybe that's because, they enjoy watching other people suffer or watch other people being uncomfortable, which would be somewhat of a personality trait at some level. Mm. So I think that we can find explanations for this, but it really takes away from the idea that our own habits are just random. They're reflections of who we are. Yeah. There are many stories of reared apart twins, and each is a unique take on human development. There's a pair of identical twin firemen who didn't meet until they were in their early 30s. They lived in different cities in New Jersey. What's interesting is that on occasion they were mistaken for one another, but of course they never considered that they might have a twin out there. And when they met, it turned out they were both 6'4", both bald, both had huge glasses that were the same. They both always carried a knife with them. They carried their keys on a big belt buckle. They both cared a great deal about firefighting. And they both had a penchant for Budweiser beer and Chinese food and very rare steak.
Wow. And when were they separated?
Well, they were separated at birth and they met when they were 32.
Isn't that crazy? Because that is a quite a large set of quite specific things that I would absolutely agree would be beyond the realm of possibility. From doing these studies with twins, do we learn a lot about nature versus nurture? Or are all people sort of a little bit of both?
Every trait is a mix of genetics and environment. It's a matter of how much is contributing. But I will say that you have to think about it in a group level or individual level. At an individual level, genes and environment are completely intertwined. We can only estimate genetic effects by looking at variation in a group.
Well, really fascinating speaking with you. Nancy Siegel, who is professor of psychology at California State Fullerton, she has 9 books about the subject of twins. So if you know one, might make a good Christmas present. Nancy, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, Jonathan.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.
Hi.
Held off on getting gifts until the last minute? Make Half Price Books your headquarters for all things bookish, quirky, and cool. Search shelves full of comics, games, crafts, music, and more in-store, or shop millions of items at hpb.com to find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Either way, gifting couldn't be easier. You may be cutting it close, but with Half Price Books, you've got this holiday season in the bag. Find a store near you or shop online at hpb.com.